We told you earlier this week about students at Harvard Law School who want the administration there to change the school's seal, the one that you've probably seen. It features parts of the royal family crest. That's royal with two L's. The royals' wealth came from the slave trade. Some of that wealth went to establish the school. Daniel Coquelette has written about the family. He's author of On the Battlefield of Merit, Harvard Law School, the First Century. He joins us now. Professor, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
And tell us, who were the royals?
The royals actually originated in Maine, and Isaac Royal Sr. made his money in the slave trade and used it to buy a plantation in Antigua. Sugar plantations were a cruel form of slavery because even the slightest nick from the razor-sharp cane knives was infected, no antibiotics, so a very high fatality rate among these slaves.
And beyond that, there was some real brutality from this family to the slaves.
Yes, that involved the entire island. There was a slave revolt, 2,000 slaves organized in four troops of 500 each. The royals were targeted specifically. The reason was that there was a terrible drought and also a smallpox epidemic. The slaves were thirsty and hungry, and they decided to strike back.
And this family became one of the wealthiest families in Massachusetts when they came to Massachusetts.
That's correct. They came because of the slave revolt. That scared them. They had to execute over 70 slaves, including their head slave, Hector. That was done, by the way, by all the whites. It wasn't just them. It was the totals here. And though he still owned the plantations and got money from them, he bought a big house in Medford, which is still there. And he brought 27 slaves, and the slave block he built for those slaves is still there.
Medford, a city just outside of Boston. How did they get involved with Harvard?
Royal was a royalist, and he lost his nerve in the Revolution and fled to Halifax. But he left money in his will to various charities, but to Harvard. I said it was up to them to decide whether to endow a chair in law or a chair in medicine. And Harvard decided to endow a chair in law. And it was because of that chair that Harvard is the oldest university professional law school in the United States.
But was this an enormous gift, or was this just enough for one professor or something like
that?
Well,
it wasn't even enough for one professor, but the people at Harvard had a brilliant idea, which is to train lawyers within a university. And the gift from Royal was exactly what they needed to kick it off.
So why was the seal of this family put into the crest of Harvard Law School?
This all happened in 1936.
Yeah.
And it was Abbot Lawrence Lowell. He thought that the residence houses should all have coats of arms, and he thought the professional schools should too. So they set someone at work, and he discovered that Royal had endowed the chair that started the school and that he had a coat of arms. In fact, if you go to the Royal House today, you'll see his book plates with the three wheat sheaves, which are the three wheat sheaves of the arms of Harvard Law School.
And, of course, now there is a lot of controversy about this. And, in fact, this is not the first time this has come up. The Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan declined when she was at Harvard Law School to take the title of the royal professorship because of this very reason. Why do you think there is this big push for the seal to be changed now?
Well, immodestly, I think students have been reading my book. Some of the leaders of this movement are students in my class. And once they read the book and read the harsh facts about the royal family and saw that the seal was identical, it stuck in their throats to see them on the podiums and on the letterhead, on the walls of the school, because they could now see it for the cruelty of the family in the seal. Now, I went down to Antigua. I talked to the people in Antigua. They take a lot of pride in their connection in founding Harvard Law School. And at one point, I felt overwhelmed with sorrow, and I said, I'm so sorry. And the Michelle Henry, who I was with, said, the head of their national museum, said, don't feel sorry. We're proud to be associated with, in some way, to have helped in some way create a school that would graduate Barack Obama. On the other hand, I'm sympathetic with the students in their shock at seeing this everywhere in the school.
But a lot of people looking at this and what's happening at other universities around the country would say, where do we stop then? How much of the past can be erased from the modern symbols that we associate? Is Woodrow Wilson's name too controversial to go on a building at Princeton?
Christopher Columbus Langdell, who has a huge building named after him at Harvard Law School, was obdurately opposed to the admission of women. And for his influence, women didn't even get into 1950. So if you look at total gender exclusion, gender apartheid, Langdell did that.
So should all these names be taken off?
I think a great institution can confront its past. And I would rather just, you know, say, look, this is the past as it was. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the big issues. And I think institutions need to tell the truth. And there's a danger in sanitizing everything.
That's Daniel Coquelette, who is the Donald J. Monin Society of Jesus University professor at Boston College Law School. He's also a visiting professor at Harvard Law School and the author of The Battlefield of Merit, Harvard Law School, the First Century. Professor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.